Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LeBounty.
Bob, you'll get a real sense of the hatred that makes football so great.
I've got the fever, gambling fever.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
And good Monday evening. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LeBounty, presented by Valentino's Italian Cuisine. And Corey, it just so happens that that's where we are on this beautiful first Monday of January. Valentino's Italian Cuisine. We're here on Azalea Road, right next to Michael Boulevard. Come see us. Come grab some food. I mean, they've got a great menu. I'm looking at it right now, trying to figure out what Corey will order me later tonight, because I don't know if you remember, but Corey and I made a little bet at the on Sports Night last week. Had to deal with the New England Patriots and the Tennessee Titans, and Corey LeBounty betting against his own man, Derrick Henry, and it looks like I came out on the good side of that bet. So right now I'm looking at this expansive menu trying to decide what Corey LeBounty will buy me for dinner later right here at Valentino's.
That's a tough one. I mean, I did not expect the Patriots to struggle the way that they did. Did not expect them to lose at home. And I thought Derrick Henry would have a tremendous amount of yards, but I didn't think he would lead your team to a W. And he was able to do that. And because of it, I'm going to owe up on my bet tonight, come out to Valentino's, and I already owe Dalton a meal. And Dalton and I will go ahead and give out an appetizer as well.
Yeah.
Tonight here at Valentino's. So come on down. I want to welcome everybody who's in Mobile, Alabama for the Lending Tree Bowl.
Of course.
Getting ready to kick off at Lab People Stadium tonight. But Dalton, you're absolutely right. Your Titans took care of business and I lost the bet.
Yeah. And that was major news, but in a weekend full of just huge news. I mean, you look at ESPN, the ticker was moving all weekend long with big news. Of course, maybe the biggest for our area came today with Tua Tagovailoa announcing his decision. We'll get to that in a minute. But come on by Valentino's Italian Cuisine. We'll be here through the end of the show and hang out afterwards, grab some food, come by, talk some football with us or basketball or whatever floats your boat. We have some great guests planned for tonight. Coming up in this next segment, we'll be talking with Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. You may have read an article that he put out this last week that was just a fascinating, tragic article about the passing of Casey McCord, the daughter-in-law of LSU's offensive coordinator Steve Ensminger. And we'll talk with Ross Dellinger about that. We'll get his take on the LSU-Clemson National Championship that we, of course, have coming up in only 7 days. Also, later in the show, we'll talk with Reese's Executive Senior Bowl Director Jim Nagy. We are now, I believe, 18 days away from the Senior Bowl kicking off. Of course, all the fun gets started a little earlier than that, because they get started on Monday when the players begin showing up. So we're 2 weeks out from that, and looking forward to talking with both Ross Dellinger and Jim Nagy later in the show. But you know how we do here on Sports Night, and I want to get it started with some of the bigger headlines from this weekend. And we'll start with the biggest news, and that came earlier today. Tua Tagovailoa holding a joint press conference with Alabama head coach Nick Saban, and the magic words out of his mouth that came about, I'd say about 4 minutes into the press conference, after Nick Saban got up there and said some really nice words about his quarterback, Tua says, "With lots of prayers, thought, and guidance, I've decided I will be declaring and entering the 2020 NFL draft." A guy who is much heralded around not just Tuscaloosa, but the rest of the state, a lot of the nation, of course, his home in Hawaii, loved by pretty much everyone he seems to meet, and now he's going to risk it. He's going to take that hip injury. He's going to keep rehabbing, and he's going to see what happens in April.
I agree with his decision that he made today. Selfishly, as an Alabama fan, I wanted to see Tua come back, but again, you cannot pass away the opportunity that this young man's going to have to make plenty of money. He's going to have an opportunity to be a first-round draft pick, in my mind, even though he's coming off that tremendous injury, and the question marks are going to be there for anyone who selects Tua Tagovailoa, but I remember him starting as a freshman in 2017. My mom and I had an opportunity to go on the road, watch him play in Nashville, Tennessee against my mom's Commodores, and he had a pass that was just phenomenal. He reversed, he rolled out left, rolled back to his right, threw it across his body, threw it on a rope, and I just knew then this young man's going to be special. He only threw 77 passes as a true freshman, but none more important than the touchdown that he threw in the national championship game against Georgia. And since then, he won the battle with Jalen Hurts, and unfortunately, he was injured this season. But 87 career touchdowns, only 11 interceptions, over 7,400 passing yards for Tua. Maxwell Award winner, Walter Camp Award winner, Heisman runner-up. Tua, thank you very much for everything you did for the University of Alabama.
Yeah, and he brings the national title home. And when he said that he'd be making that decision before the January 2020 cutoff date, when he made that first announcement, he said it was purely a business decision, and he'd be speaking with his family about it, praying a lot about the decision. But I believe he said he'd come out if he was projected as a top 15 pick in this coming draft. And if you look at the current draft order, which is going to stand as it is from 1 through 24 until the teams start trading places, and we know how that gets on draft day. We'll see a lot of teams try to move up, potentially to try to snag Tua Tagovailoa at one of those picks. But the teams that are in need of a quarterback, and you think of the availability out there and their ceilings and their floors. Now, going into this year, we thought for sure that Tua would more than likely be the number one quarterback taken, probably even the number one overall player taken in the draft. Remember Miami, it looked like they had no chance at winning a game.
Tank for
of
Tua.
Course, everyone is so silly before either the college season or the NFL season to make these, you know, predictions like Miami's not going to win a game, because they end up looking pretty good. But Joe Burrow really upset all of that talk. And right now it looks like Joe Burrow more than likely will be the number one overall pick to Cincinnati. Cincinnati, a team that needs a quarterback. You look at number two, Washington. They have Dwayne Haskins, so they're probably not going to go ahead and pick up another quarterback. But that's a team that might want to trade down unless they just are in love with Chase Young. The team at number three, Detroit. Matt Stafford has dealt with some injuries here recently. Do they want to move on? The New York Giants, they're probably set with Daniel Jones. Miami, the team that everyone thought would not win a game this year, they're sitting there right at number five. You follow them, two more teams that need a quarterback. The L.A. Chargers, they have a past-his-prime Phillip Rivers, who was really having trouble at the end of the year. And right behind them, Carolina, who looks like they're moving on from Cam Newton. So I don't see how Tua, forget the top 15, I don't see how he drops out of the top five. I think teams will be moving up to grab him.
It's a situation to where even though he's not going to be able to work out for the GMs, I think that his number and his tape speaks for themselves. I think it's an opportunity to where if he goes to the Dolphins, he probably won't start immediately. He'll have an opportunity to kind of learn the system a little bit and then again fit into their personnel. Same thing if there's a new quarterback in Carolina with Cam Newton moving on. Again, I think he'll play the backup role. If Cam comes back, I think he'll be under Cam's wings and maybe for a couple of years. It's just a situation to where if he is going to be drafted top 10 picks, I think that he'll be on the field within a year and a half or midway through the NFL season, because again, it just depends on how fast he's able to come back, because the unknown is his hip. Mm-hmm. And that's the unknown fact with anybody drafting him as well.
All right. Another big piece of news that came out yesterday for our area, Jalen Hurts now officially coming to the Senior Bowl. We'll talk about that in depth with the executive director, Jim Nagy, coming up later in this hour. Also, big news today, we knew that Jason Garrett was going to be on his way out in Dallas. They drug it along, had lots of meetings, and officially announced the firing, I guess, yesterday, and then they already had their guy ready and waiting. They're going to hire former Green Bay Packers coach Mike McCarthy. The Cowboys made that official today. Adam Schefter tweeting that Mike McCarthy, I guess, spent the night at Jerry Jones' house on Saturday night. But what you're looking at with McCarthy, a guy who coached in Green Bay for 13 seasons, a record of 125-77-2, made the playoffs 9 out of 13 seasons, won a Super Bowl, made it to 3 other NFC championship games. Looks like he's ready to jump back in the game.
Linebackers coach from the New Orleans Saints, Mike Nolan, will join him already as his defensive coordinator. We'll see how the Cowboy fans react and how he fits into Jerry's world here pretty soon.
All right, come see us at Valentino's Italian Cuisine on Azalea Road. Coming back, Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. You're listening to Sports Night.
Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead, this is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night.
And And welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night live on this first Monday of January, live at Valentino's Italian Cuisine on Azalea Road. Great new Italian restaurant you've got to come check out. They've got a huge menu, even bigger portions. I haven't seen anyone, maybe they need to start a challenge around here. I haven't seen anyone finish their dinner portion in one sitting. Everyone's always getting the to-go boxes and taking them home with them. So come on out, Valentino's Italian Cuisine. Corey and I are here. We're talking football. We're talking a little bit of everything tonight. Talking basketball, of course. And it's great to have South Alabama women's basketball coach Terry Fowler joining us here tonight. You never know what kind of celebrity you might run into here at Valentino's Italian Cuisine. Coach, how are you? How are the holidays for you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dalton. You know, in this profession, it's good, but it's always too short. But, you know, you get back to it, and so we're just excited about what 2020 has in store.
And you guys played, was it last night? You took on Coastal Carolina. It didn't seem like you got much of a Christmas break. You got a few days off before Christmas, but right back at it with the turn of the new year.
Yeah, we had about 5 or 6 days off, and then we come back, and you know, unfortunately for us, we had some kids come back with the flu. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then you jump into conference, and, you know, it's 9 weeks of two games a week, and every night's a fight. And so, you know, you just got to try to take care of your business at home. You know, unfortunately, this weekend we got a split. So, you know, that means we got to go on the road and try to steal one somewhere.
No doubt about it, Coach. You're in a situation to where you're 6-8 overall, 1-1 in conference play. You beat Appalachian State at home, and then you came up a little short against Coastal Carolina, who's off to a hot start as well in your conference. This week you travel on the road to Lafayette, and then next Saturday you're back home, or this coming Saturday rather, you're back home at the Mitchell Center taking on Lafayette. Talk to us about your upcoming opponents.
Yeah, Lafayette's playing great basketball as well. They're 8-6, I think, right now. But, you know, they had big wins. They won at Ole Miss. You know, they had a highly contested game against Mississippi State up in Starkville. They went to Georgia State and Georgia Southern and got a split in conference play. But, you know, they had been in the conference championship 2-3 years ago. They're back to playing that pressing style. They're all over the place trapping you, and they make it difficult for you. So we're looking forward to the challenge over at the Cajun Dome. And then we'll come back home, and we got Louisiana Monroe, who's, you know, under a new coaching staff right now, and they're trying to figure things out. But they've got a dynamic post player in Diamond Brooks, who really had a good weekend this week.
You're also looking at a situation to where right now in conference play, Troy 2-0, Georgia Southern 2-0, Texas Arlington at 2-0, and again, you're right there in the middle of the pack. So you mentioned how important it is to go ahead and take care of the road warrior mentality that you guys have had. Hopefully everybody will get back healthy there. But when you're talking about the women's top 25 action, you're always looking at UConn and Louisville, and then Oregon has a dynamic team. Had an opportunity to watch South Carolina play Alabama yesterday on the SEC Network, but talk about the overall balance in college basketball, not only on the women's side, but on the men's side as well.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, everybody on the men's side, they talk a lot about with the one and dones, and that's why it's a lot of parity. But on the women's side, I mean, when you start talking about North Carolina State, who's the top 10, and Florida State's playing really well right now. You know, Louisville and Duke had a great game yesterday. There's not a clear national champion this year. It's not. I mean, there's probably 8 teams that can be in the Final Four, and that's what women's basketball needs, is that parity. And I think you're starting to see players not just go to the top schools. They're not just going to Tennessee, and they're not just going to UConn. You know, they're spreading out, and it's really helping the game. And so women's basketball last 2 seasons has been unbelievable. The Final Fours have had, you know, overtime game, buzzer beaters. It's been great. And then that's carried on over into the WNBA this season and their finals. And it's just women's basketball is at its highest peak, I think, here, you know, in the last 2 years.
And with that, you make it to the dance, you've got a real chance to make something special happen. And I know your team went on a nice run there in the Sun Belt tournament towards the end of the season last year. What are you preaching into their minds this season? What's the goal right now?
Yeah, it's the same. I mean, it's to win the Sun Belt, and you know, and you get into the conference play. Everybody's 0-0. You know, right now we're just starting. It's a long road, and so you know, the main thing is if you can win the regular season to position yourself to play only two games in the conference tournament because the top two teams get byes to the semifinals, and you're automatically over at the Smoothie King Center. And then all you got to do is win two games. You know, last year we put ourselves in a tough situation where, you know, we need to win five games in 6 days, and you know, we won four of them. But, you know, so this year the thing is, hey, let's put ourselves in a great position that we don't have to do that, and we can go over and take care of business and try to win that semifinal game and then get in the championship game and win that and get in the NCAA tournament.
Something you don't see often, Coach, is when you have three players that have 1,000 points on your roster, and that's what you have right now. That's why I encourage everyone to come out and watch your Lady Jaguars play at the Mitchell Center. New LED lighting, new floor, the atmosphere has been tremendous. Your non-conference schedule to where you had Alabama, Auburn, and Rutgers coming to the Mitchell Center was tremendous, so it prepared you for this conference play. But talk about your three scores that have 1,000 points or more for their career.
Yeah, well, you know, the one that really doesn't get as much accolades, but she's really earned it this year, is the lone senior out of that group, and that's Sephora Kynes. And, you know, I mean, people, I'm telling you, when you come see her, you know, she's small in stature, but, boy, she's got a big heart, and she is unreal, you know. And so she can put the ball in the basket from three. She can get to the basket. She can attack you. And then you're talking about having a 6'1 wing player in Savannah Jones. That's, you know, one of the best three-point shooters in the nation last season. And, you know, this year she's drawing a lot of attention. I mean, she's not getting open looks she got, but she's still finding a way to have those 20-point nights. And so she's dynamic as well. And then we got the post game with Antoinette Lewis on the inside. And, you know, we got a great mixture of playing inside out with those three, and it is special to have three players that already 1,000 point scorers, and you know, two of them are juniors, so they've got a bright future ahead of them, so we're just looking forward to continuing on.
Coach, you know, I imagine each team you have come through is a little bit unique in their own ways. How would you classify this team this year? What's unique about your team that you put out there on the floor?
The one thing about this group and carried up from last season, because it's basically the same team, is they're just really competitive. I mean, they want to fight, scratch, and claw until the end. They want to win every drill in practice. They want it to be a competitive drill. And I tell them sometimes we lose sight of, you know, the fundamentals and the techniques we're doing because they're just so competitive to want to win the drill, win the game. And so it just carries over. And I think that's something that's really special about this group, and you know, most competitive team I've ever had.
We're talking with South Alabama women's head basketball coach Terry Fowler, and the Jags back on the court this Thursday, traveling to Louisiana Lafayette, and looking forward to that game. And Coach, I know a lot of your time goes into coaching the team, probably a majority of your time, and we were talking a little bit about the women's NCAA this year and how it seems like it's up for grabs. The men's league, I'm not sure how much of that you've gotten to check out this year, but what, we've had six different number one ranked teams so far this year. they get ranked number one and then they fall right after it. Now, Gonzaga shifting that a little bit. Right. They've at least made it, what, two weeks now? but there's some parity in the men's league, too.
Yeah, and it is. It's just basketball's at a great, great place right now. And, you know, Michigan State, you know, and then they go down, but then they beat Michigan yesterday in a big game. You know, Kansas gets their run, and then they go down. I mean, so, again, it's great when you can look and see on any given night, you know, that anybody can beat anybody. And, you know, a great thing for me in men's basketball right now is, man, the level of play in the SEC. Because, you know, one, the SEC made a commitment to basketball, just men's basketball, just like they did football. And so that has elevated college basketball, because on any given night in the SEC, it's something to watch. You know, there was a stretch where I didn't enjoy watching SEC men's basketball.
No.
But I enjoy watching it now. Yeah.
Yeah, you had Calipari and then everyone else
right.
for a while there.
Yeah.
And, you know, here in Mobile, we love the Jags. We root for them no matter who they play. But also big fans of some of the other teams from our area, or some of the teams from the state. And we've seen players that play high school ball down here move on to play at a number of different colleges. But the job that Bruce Pearl has done at Auburn, taking them to the first Final Four in program history last year. This year, they remain the only undefeated team in any of the Power 5 conferences, although the Jags gave them a little bit of a scare when they came down here to Mobile earlier this year. That would have been a cool one to put on the right side of that record there. But talk a little bit about Bruce Pearl and the job he's done.
He is. He's phenomenal. I mean, energetic. His kids just play. They play that style, and they're loose. They're not afraid to make mistakes. You know, great to see him come into the Mitchell Center and play that game. Boy, I was pulling for Coach Riley and those guys, and I thought we had them. But they just play with a looseness about them. You know, they're not looking over their shoulder and make mistakes. You know, they're pressing. They're shooting the three. They got a really good inside game. I mean, they've got – you know, they've got NBA guys on their team, and when you have that, you got a chance.
We're talking with South Alabama women's basketball coach Terry Fowler, and about to hit a break here, but Dalton Orwig, Corey LeBounty live from Valentino's Italian Cuisine right here on Azalea Road. Come by and see us. They're cooking up some great Italian food in the kitchen. If you can't make it out, maybe you're a little busy tonight, they also do delivery. I think Waiter, Grubhub, pretty much either any of the delivery services you may use, they also do takeout. Just look them up online, Valentino's Italian Cuisine. And we're coming right back. More Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty with you on this very busy Monday night. And we are live from Valentino's Italian Cuisine. Check them out, Azalea Road, right next to Michael Boulevard. Come out tonight. We'll be here a little after the show, and we will buy your appetizer. Come out to Valentino's Italian Cuisine. Check it out. You will not regret it. They got a huge menu, even bigger portions. Thanks to South Alabama women's basketball coach Terry Fowler for joining us there in that last segment. And I'm excited to talk to our next guest here, Corey, Ross Dellinger, a writer with Sports Illustrated. He's been putting out some great information just as he's done his entire career, and Ross joins us tonight. Ross, how are you?
Good. How are y'all?
Hey, we are doing great, and thank you for joining us here on Sports Night tonight. And as a guy who's been writing a lot about LSU, you don't have a lack of stories surrounding that program to write about right now.
No, not at all. LSU has been, one of the better stories in general of the college football season. You know, it's been incredible to follow from Ed Orgeron, you know, the Cajun coach who rebounded from a terrible stint at Ole Miss a decade ago, to Heisman Trophy winner who was, you know, not used at Ohio State, basically transferred, and all the way down the list, Joe Brady, you know, 30-year-old pass game coordinator, overhauled the offense. It's just one great story after another.
Now, one of your latest stories here, just an intense, fascinating write-up about the tragic death here this last week of sports reporter Carly McCord and how her father-in-law, the offensive coordinator for LSU, Steve Ensminger, responded to the news. Now, Ensminger, he found out about Carly's death, I guess, about an hour before that semifinal game kicked off. By your account, how did he react to the news?
Well, you know, Steve is a pretty tough guy, and I think that he reacted as a, you know, one of those tough, hard-nosed kind of older football coaches would. I think he took it in stride and was there for his son. He's been married to Carly McCord. She passed on a, you know, plane crash, was heading to the game, a private plane that was heading to the game. A very sad situation. It's just one of those terrible things. And he found out about it a few hours before kickoff, and called his son about an hour before, hour and a half before kickoff, to reassure him of things. And it's certainly a hard story to write and report. You know, one of the sadder stories of that I've experienced in my career.
no doubt about it, Ross. And again, our condolences are going out to that family as well. You look at the national championship game on Monday night, the Clemson Tigers versus the LSU Tigers. It's the battle of Death Valley. I think the winner of this game can officially call their stadium Death Valley after this game. But what are you looking forward to the most next Monday night?
Well, you know, the quarterback battle is obviously one. You know, Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow, I mean, those two guys could be the next two number one draft picks. You know, a lot of people believe the Cincinnati Bengals will take Joe Burrow at number one this year. And I think next year, Trevor, right now at least, is probably the favorite, especially with Tua going pro, is probably the favorite to be the top draft pick in the 2021 draft. So that should be interesting to watch. You know, we haven't seen any defense stop LSU's offense. And really, we haven't even really seen any defense slow LSU's offense. So can Clemson and Brent Venables do that? Probably not enough. You know, they'll probably still need to score 30-plus points from their offense, I think. And certainly Clemson's receivers against LSU's defensive backs, which LSU's secondary full of first-round draft picks, should be really something to watch there.
You mentioned Joe Brady earlier. Who do you credit most for LSU's offensive revival this season?
Well, I think he's got to be the one. You know, I don't think this LSU offense is just a lot of things coming together at once. So not only is there that, you know, Joe Burrow, but you have his receivers who are all, you know, most of them 5-star, you know, athletes that came in as prize signees who are catching incredible passes, making incredible catches. And then, you know, you've got the system, and then you got the quarterback coach, Steve Ensminger, who's also the offensive coordinator, but you do have to credit that system. You know, that Joe Brady, game coordinator, brought in from the Saints, a low-level assistant there, and 30 years old. So he's got to get a lot of credit. I think everybody gets a little bit of credit, but hey, as they say, it's more the Jimmy and the Joes than X's and O's. And without Joe Burrow and some of these receivers making these incredible catches, you know, LSU wouldn't be here right now.
It's a situation to where if you had to pick a game or a defining moment for LSU football this season, would it be the Auburn game and the comeback win there in Death Valley? Would it be the Alabama game and the shootout and the big lead that they had, finding a way to battle back and go ahead and the perfection that Joe Burrow had earlier? I know you covered them the entire season, but what would that one moment be to you?
Well, yeah, I think there's two moments. You know, Texas is the second game of the season, and you know, that was basically a back and forth kind of shootout in the second half, where Texas kept answering and coming with a touchdown of LSU, and LSU responded every time with a field goal or a touchdown. They responded every time, and of course, late in the game, maybe 2 minutes left, LSU faced a 3rd and 17, I believe, around maybe the 30 or 40 yard line of their own 30 or 40, up by a score, and Joe Burrow on 3rd and 17 steps up in a collapsing pocket and throws a perfect pass across the middle to Justin Jefferson, who runs it, you know, 70 yards for a touchdown to basically secure the win. That was huge early on. I think the other play would probably have to be against Alabama, you know, at Alabama. You know, the 1-2 matchup, basically, and Joe Burrow does. There's so many plays in the second half of that game, but Joe Burrow does like a fake sneak, kind of like an RPO, and he ran it up the middle, and it was just beautiful. And it got a big first down and got LSU into territory to score kind of a game-securing touchdown. So those are two ones that really stick out.
No question about it. We're talking with Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated, and he covers college football for Sports Illustrated. We'll be at the national championship game next Monday night. But one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is Ed Orgeron being able to come into Mobile, Alabama, in Baldwin County and get the local recruits on his roster. We're talking about Neil Farrer, a defensive lineman, Cordell Flott, the young man from Saraland High School. He's been instrumental in the defensive backfield for the Tigers this season. But you also have Ja'Cory Savage on that roster and a couple other Mobile Baldwin County guys. What difference does it make for Orgeron to be able to come into Mobile and Baldwin County and take these type of recruits and develop them as well?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was an LSU beat writer before taking this job, and I remember writing a story about how LSU was going into Mobile quite a bit, and that was like 3 years ago. It seems like they started a pipeline when, Mobile native, he was a receiver, Damian Craig was there, and they started, you know, Damian started going in there, and they kind of created a little bit of a pipeline. They kept it open. They really have. And, yeah, it's incredible. Some great players, obviously, there in Mobile, and you know, Ed Orgeron's not from too far away there in South Louisiana, and Baton Rouge isn't too far away. So, you know, it's pretty easy drive, and I'm actually originally from in between those two places in Biloxi, so I know Mobile pretty well, and it's a place with great players, and I would imagine LSU's pipeline there will only continue.
Well, Ross, I know there's the rule, no cheering in the press box, but I'm not sure there's a rule that journalists can't make predictions. So what do you think, if you had to guess, how do you think this game will turn out this coming Monday night?
I think LSU wins, you know, and it's just hard to see anybody slowing their offense enough. And I do expect it to be somewhat close. I really do. I think you're looking at a 35-27 game, you know, something like that, you know, 31-24. I could totally see something like that. Not too high scoring, but not too low scoring. I believe that that we're on the way to a really kind of fantastic finish here to the college football season.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Ross, and we'll have to get you on maybe to talk about the championship game, and also you wrote a recent article here that I implore everyone to read about Joe Moorhead, his firing, and the win now culture in college football and whether or not that's here to stay, but we'll have to talk about that at another time, and thank you so much for joining us on Sports Night here.
All right, y'all. Thanks.
And Ross, one more question for you. How can people – oh, we lost
looks
Ross.
Like we lost Ross.
That's all right. I mean, he'll be on in a couple weeks. Again, he's got some breaking news possibly going on in the Mississippi State coaching world, which is huge. And, again, you have a lot of teams looking for head coaches, not only in the NFL but college football as it winds down next Monday night in the national championship as well.
And he's always tweeting us. I know he was tweeting yesterday about the Saints' loss to Minnesota. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ross Dellinger, D-E-L-L-E-N-G-E-R. Coming back, we'll try to get the executive director for the Reese's Senior Bowl on, Jim Nagy. We're live from Valentino's Italian Cuisine right here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Sports Night. Coming right back.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
And welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty. We are presented by Valentino's Italian Cuisine, and that's where we are tonight, live from Valentino's. Come see us on Azalea Road, right next to Michael Boulevard, and get you something to eat. And pleasure to be joined tonight by Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. You can follow him on Twitter at JimNagy_SB. And Jim joins us on Mobile Mornings on Friday mornings for Football Friday. But as we get closer and closer to the Senior Bowl, it's always a treat to talk to Jim. Jim, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm talking to you live from a stairwell at Bad People Stadium.
Well, we appreciate you making time for us tonight. And I saw, were you just on ESPN pumping up the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I'm going to be soon. They're going to have me on the air talking Senior Bowl later in the game.
That's great to hear. Well, we're only 18 days away now from kickoff, and I guess the players show up now in just 2 weeks. But the big news over the weekend and early this morning, Jalen Hurts announcing he's coming down to play in the Senior Bowl. How excited are you about that, Jim, and how did that come together?
Yeah, very excited, obviously, for you know, what Jalen means to the state of Alabama and everything he did up in Tuscaloosa, both, you know, on and off the field, and the way he handled himself with such class with you know, he was, what, 26-2 as a starter and got benched and after winning a national title. And just the way he handled that and then, you know, came in and saved the day in the SEC championship game. So, you know, such an accomplished guy. I think he really endeared himself to, you know, the state of Alabama especially that last year. So he's been a guy we've really been focused on. You kind of go into every year at the Senior Bowl with a few guys targeting in mind that you really want to get. Jalen was one of those guys this year. So, you know, we had a pretty good feeling we'd get him all fall. But Jalen's one of those guys. He's really tunnel vision. His dad told me that early in the fall that when Jalen gets focused on something, you know, it's hard to get him unfocused. And he just really wants to, you know, he attacks the thing that's right in front of him. And, you know, for the rest of the fall, you know, for the good part of the fall, that was the Oklahoma season and then the bowl game. So we had to wait our turn. And now that the season's over, we're Jalen's focused on the Senior Bowl. And we couldn't be more excited to get him because, again, I think that we haven't had a sellout for the Senior Bowl since Tim Tebow's year. And I think having Jalen, we've got a really good shot at it this year.
The draft starts in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. Folks can get tickets at seniorbowl.com. They can also stop by the office there on Dolphin Street. There's a Senior Bowl office downtown on Dolphin Street as well. But you're looking at all the invites that are still out there. Justin Herbert from Oregon possibly coming in. I know you'd love to have Joe Burrow as well. You're talking about the star power that's already in the game. Jalen Hurts adding to that, Jim. There's many things going on outside of the game as well. You have your Senior Bowl Summit. You have your NFL coaches coming down from Cincinnati as well as Detroit to coach these teams. Cincinnati has the number one pick. Detroit, I think, picks at number three. So that's a bonus, too. But so many things going on besides the game as well. The free concert also. Tell us all the things that are going on.
Yeah, you know, that's Corey, that's been a real focus, is try to build this week out. And again, not just for you know, the local community, and that's really our focus. But you know, the more we can build out and give people a reason to come down here and spend their hard-earned money to stay in our hotels and eat at our restaurants and drink at our bars, that's what we're trying to help out the community that way too. So the summit event's going to be great. We had it last year. It's a, you know, obviously second time event. Gary Vaynerchuk is a name that it means a lot to some people, and some mm-hmm. people might not know it, but you know, Gary's one of these social media influencer guys, and he's got 13 million followers. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's built all these businesses, and he's really a magnetic speaker. I got a chance to spend some time with him earlier in the fall and go to a Jets game with him when we were trying to get him to commit to come to Mobile and speak at the summit. And he's really a dynamic guy, just to spend a little bit of time around him. So he's going to be an awesome keynote speaker at the summit. Again, there's going to be a lot of takeaways for local business people because he's built so many businesses himself. And then just on a personal side, you're just around this guy, like he's got really good insights on a lot of different topics. So he's excited to come down here. You know, he usually charges six figures to come speak, and he waived that fee for us.
Wow.
All he wants to do, he asked me to get him in a room with at Roost Chris one night with eight of you know, the most interesting NFL people, is the way he put it. He didn't care about what their title was. He just wanted to sit and have drinks and talk football with some NFL folks. So that's what we're doing for him. That's going to be a great night. Jeremy Schapp from ESPN is going to moderate all those panels. It's a panel-style event until Gary keynotes it. And then Friday night, we're going to have the Mardi Gras event. You talked about, you know, the free concert. We're going to start it off after the Senior Bowl experience at the Convention Center. Where the players have always signed autographs. Now we're going to have a Mardi Gras parade downtown Mobile. The players are all going to march. They're going to throw autograph footballs to the kids. We're going to have bands involved in that. And then it's going to end in Cathedral Square, and it's going to end with a free concert by the Revivalists, who were, I think, Billboard Magazine back in 2017 named them the new rock band of the year. And they've got a huge following down here on the Gulf Coast, being a New Orleans-based band. So, you know, the people that the good people at Soul Kitchen helped us book them, and they're thinking 10,000-15,000 people downtown Mobile just for the Revivalists.
Man, I love that. You guys are making this such a great event, and to catch it year in and year out, you add more things every year, and it makes it necessary not only to be there for game day itself, but starting on Monday when the players start coming in all the way through the rest of the week. Jim, I wanted to get your take on some news today. One of the decisions that a lot of people have been waiting to hear, and that's Tua Tagovailoa announcing his decision to enter the NFL draft in 2020. What do you think? He must have gotten a pretty good grade from the projections that he got back.
Yeah, you know, selfishly, I was disappointed because had he gone back to school, I think we would have had a good shot at getting Tua in next year's Senior Bowl. We're talking about Jalen right now. you know, helping fill Lab Stadium. I think Tua would have done the same thing next year. But I really didn't think Tua could have made a bad decision. I really don't. He had a lot of different things to weigh in this decision, and the medical is going to come down huge. But I do think when it comes down to it, somebody's going to roll the dice. Mm-hmm. That's the hard part. I always try to see things through like a GM's lens, with my NFL background. And he's going to force some GM to tell his owner that they're rolling the dice and spending, you know, whatever it be, $20 million on a signing bonus on a guy who they don't know if he's ever going to be physically the same again. But that's a roll of the dice. But you can't win in that league without a quarterback. I've worked for teams. I worked for the Kansas City Chiefs for 4 years, and we never found a quarterback, so we all lost our jobs. So you're always looking for that guy, and Tua's plenty talented enough to be a franchise quarterback if he's healthy. And I do think someone's going to end up spending a first-round pick on him. So if they do that, then it was a good decision.
Not only can they see Jalen Hurts, who is committed to the Senior Bowl, they can see Alabama players, Auburn players, teams from all across the country. Last year, I know you set a record for draft picks that were picked in the first and second, and really the entire draft, guys that came down, because the draft starts here at Mobile, Alabama. How can people get tickets?
Yeah, you said it, Corey. I mean, you said it earlier. SeniorBowl.com is probably the easiest way. I went on there myself just to make sure that everything's user-friendly and easy. If I can do it, anyone else can do it. So log on to SeniorBowl.com, or like you said, we've got our offices down there. It's across from Bienville Square at 151 Dolphin Street. We had all hands on deck this morning in the office. We had five people working the phones, and I'll tell you what, just getting Jalen signed up last night, you know, moving the amount of tickets we have in the last 24 hours, we're really excited about selling this thing out. Again, like I said, somebody said before, you know, Tim Tebow, last time we sold it out was when Tim came, and really hope we can do the same thing with Jalen this year. And if the last 24 hours are any indication, I think this thing's going to be full here in a couple weeks.
All right. Really looking forward to it, Jim. Thanks for taking some time, setting it aside, and talking with us here on Sports Night. And looking forward to talking to you again about maybe some of the upcoming invites from some of these guys from LSU and Clemson.
Absolutely, guys. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I always love coming on with you guys.
Thanks so much, Jim. Appreciate your time.
All right, that's Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, coming up January 25th, kickoff at 1:30. You can watch the practices. Corey, you and I have gone to the practices out there Tuesday through Thursday at Ladd Peebles. Those are great to check out. If the weather holds like this, it'll be awesome, because we've had some chilly weather there. We've had some rainy weather. If that does come in, I love how the NFL Network carries it live too, but you don't want to miss any of the event. Really.
No, I mean, everything at Ladd Peebles Stadium, you have an opportunity throughout the week if you're downtown to bump shoulders with some of the NFL greats. Looking forward to the Senior Bowl, Dalton, and want everybody to come out to Valentino's and join us for a free appetizer that Dalton and I will be putting on the table. I owe Dalton Norwig a meal. You'll be able to see Dalton Norwig eat on Corey LeBounty tonight.
Yeah, thank you to South Alabama women's coach Terry Fowler, Ross Dillinger from Sports Illustrated, and Jim Nagy with the Senior Bowl. We'll come back next Monday and preview the LSU-Clemson game. This has been Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.